Blog Talk Radio.
As I lay me down, heaven hear me now. I'm lost without a cause. After giving it my all, winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you.
Greetings, blessings, everyone. You know what I'm saying? That's definitely joining us today. We're talking about the state of our children's education, you know what I'm saying? And also Obama's speech that, you know, he just, you know, broadcast, you know, a couple of days ago in the different schools in regards, you know, talking basically one-on-one to all the children about, you know, studying harder and doing what they need to do to be in school and everything like that. And it just seemed like it was such an issue that some schools, you know, in the South, one teacher was fear of losing their job for broadcasting it. It was a serious situation, definitely, you know, that went down. And, you know, just the state of our children's education, you know, I mean, is this one No Child Left Behind really helping our children? It's a lot of nonsense going on, you know, really in the school. So let's talk about it, you know, call in and give your opinions. But we're going to go ahead and go to a quick commercial, and we'll be back. We're talking about the state of our children's education.
Having a party? Meet a DJ?
Need a DJ?
How about the best damn DJ in the business? DJ Hustle. Visit DJ Hustle at hustleevents.com to book your next surprise birthday party, corporate event, or bachelor party. With over 40,000 songs, DJ Hustle is ready to play any request. Check out DJ Hustle at hustleevents.com. That's hustleevents.com. You can never hustle hard enough.
Attention, music connoisseur. Are you frustrated and aggravated from listening to conventional radio? Sick and tired hearing the same lame 20 songs over and over again? You need to be listening to blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. Lush Radio Online. Hosted by Lushy Lush. Lushy Lush has her ear to the street and plays all the new and independent artists out there. To listen to Lushy Lush, log on to blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. And don't forget to call into the station, 347-826-7722. Independent artists and record labels can submit music to Lush Radio Online MP3s at gmail.com. Lush Radio Online, you just officially got stamped.
It's your girl, Lushy Lush. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K magazine or www.everything2.com. Or email them at E2K magazine@gmail.com. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it, do it, do it.
Yeah, yeah, what's happening? This Big Wishbone, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, this your boy Kool Rock from the Fat Boys. And when I'm in the DMV, I'm always rocking with my girl Lush on Lush Radio Online.
Yeah, you know, so we're definitely talking about our children's education. And today, I mean, it's definitely, you know, a serious issue. Thousands and thousands of children are going to school. And the superintendent of Maryland himself, you know, basically, you know, put the blame on him, while a lot of kids are, till today, you know, still haven't gotten schedules yet for their school, or aren't even registered in properly. You know, it's just, you know, a lot of mishaps have been going on this year, you know, with different situations, you know. And, you know, it's starting to seem like the counties and the schools are putting freezes on the jobs for substitutes and teachers. You know, a lot of teachers were laid off, and they got a lot of substitutes teaching, you know, and they the paraprofessionals and people that do one-on-ones for the children that have special disabilities are not even, it's not even enough to cover the children. I mean, you know, every year, every quarter, they get a budget, you know, to stretch out. And, you know, the question is, we have to wonder, are politicians pocketing that money? Because it doesn't seem like it's going to the kids, you know, because if you look at them, half of them don't have enough books in the school. You know what I mean? When you look in the cafeteria, they're giving you the same food, or it's looking like it's spoiled. Like, what is going on with the United States schools? You know, what are they teaching us? Obama went on, you know, to talk to the children individually and tell them, you know, if you know what I'm saying, don't be afraid to ask your teacher to help you. Don't be afraid, you know, to basically, you know, do what you have to do in order to pass, you know. You know, stick in there and work hard. which I think he gave a lot of children, you know, some good motivation. It was broadcasted throughout the United States of America. He was broadcasting from a Virginia school. But you had a lot of people basically in some other states that really didn't approve of the situation, which I found, you know, appalling. I mean, you actually had a teacher that told and said that, you know, I don't want this in, you know what I'm saying, on the screen. And if you do, you're going to lose your job. So, I mean, what is the nonsense going on? And how is this teaching our kids, you know? You know, it's a lot of nonsense going on, especially in the United States of America, and it's crazy. You know, the state of our children's education, you know, children have IEPs and their IEPs. And if you don't know what IEP is, it's basically an evaluation that they do on children that have learning disabilities. And half of them aren't even up to date. They're sending it to schools, and they're not even, you know, together, you know, in regards to, like, pre-IEPs and stuff for the children. You know, some IEPs are from, like, when they were, like, in kindergarten or middle school, and then they're turning into their high schools. Like, they didn't even update to see what kind of things they can do. So half of the IEPs are updated. Half of the regular teachers that teach them are not aware that the children have the IEP. So the child is lost in the system, and basically they're not being cared to at the time. You know, I mean, and then you have a lot of children that you ask yourself, why have they been passed through the system and they can't even read elementary, you know what I'm saying, you know, work. I mean, what's really going on? This is one child, no child left behind, has definitely been a serious problem, you know, especially when it comes to minority children. You know, I think it's a lot of nonsense. And, you know, the whole fact that some schools actually didn't want to have Obama broadcast on their television to, you know, encourage the children, I think it's outrageous. But we're going to go to the phone line and bring our street queen in. Peace, queen.
Peace.
How you
How's
going,
everybody
man?
Doing?
What's up with you? What's
Hello?
Up with you? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What's up with you?
Oh, just lay the small children down. I don't play that. 8 o'clock, they're sleeping. Under 10 years old, my house, they got to be sleeping.
That's definitely the truth, man. I got mine laying down, too. That's what's up. For real. So we're talking about the state of education for our kids. Did you hear about, you know, some of the schools, you know, about Obama's broadcast to the schools and stuff that went to the different schools? You had some people that actually didn't want him to broadcast, you know, the actual speech.
They were already criticizing the speech before he even made the speech. They didn't even know what he was going to say. They were already criticizing what he was going to say. Like, I thought that was kind of crazy because they didn't even give him a chance. Like, just when it was announced that he was going to make the speech, they did all type of craziness, like, you know, protesting and all. What are you protesting about? He ain't even spoke. Like, he didn't even say nothing yet. And then after the speech, a lot of people that did do the protesting were like, oh, you know, like, oh, I didn't know that, you know. You know what I'm saying? I think they thought he was going to do like a political speech, but no, all he was doing was encouraging the kids to stay in school and letting them know how important school is, you know, and letting them know that there's no excuse for anything. You know, there's no excuse for absolutely nothing. Like, you know, his dad wasn't around either, and hello, he became president. So that stuff about, you know, the kids too, like, oh, I don't have a dad, or I don't have a mom, or I don't have this or that or whatever, and, you know. It's all how badly you want it. What I got out of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, with the other teachers that we had in the school, I mean, he was basically relating to his life. I mean, it had nothing to do with politics. It was straight about the kids. And it was very personal, like, you know, like almost like the kids had like a one-on-one with the president. And, you know, that, you know, he's been through, you know, because majority of our minority children come from broken homes, you know. So he was basically explaining, like, he's been through that, but, you know, he was able to push himself to do what he has to do,
right.
You know, and, you know, which I didn't feel nothing was wrong, but why does everything, when he's about to say something, they always feel it's got to be something political or something like that? Like, this is like, you know, It's a lot of nonsense going on. I mean,
there was a school tour. Like, I don't know where it was at, but they said it in the news that there was a school that the parents asked the teachers to pull their kids out while they were looking, you know, at the president speak and all that, and speech. And then I think the next day or the day after that, they were going to actually pull out like 58 or 68 kids to go and listen to a Bush speech.
Wow, wow.
Pull them out of school so they can go listen to Bush speaking. Like, okay.
You know, it's a lot of nonsense going on. And I also was talking about, like, I don't know what's your situation in your state, but I know out here, you know, the first week of school, a couple of weeks of school, you had children over here that still weren't registered. You still had children over here that still didn't have schedules and were just running around the school. The superintendent was sitting here saying that, you know, basically, oh, you know, it's my fault. I'm like, you know, for how long, though? This is something that, you know, you guys have time. You know, you do this every year. You understand what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
This
isn't a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise for their school coming. Yeah, it should be ready.
This isn't something that they do, like, you know, just, you know, today. They do this, like, every single day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is something that they do every single year. They know we have to bring these, register these children in. But it just seemed like, for some reason, they started this thing called SchoolMax over here, basically, that is their automatic system in a computer. But it is basically messed up these children's registration, and they've been walking around the school, you know what I'm saying, no classes and stuff. I don't know how you can go the whole couple of, you know, weeks, the majority of the school, and not have a schedule. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, over here where I'm at, which is in Philadelphia, I work at, you know, my daughter's school, and the first day of school was bananas, like it's, I think in every other school. And I was helping actually with translating, because this year we had a lot of Spanish-speaking children from Mexico and Puerto Rico and Santo Domingo. The Dominican Republic was actually, they were flying in from these states and all that.
Wow.
To come in and get registered and all that. So we had to had to make copies of their passports and all that stuff, you know, as proof that they weren't even in the state. Because as soon as school starts, once you don't register your child when they're supposed to in a certain amount of days, it becomes truancy.
Mm-hmm.
And here they're very strict with that. Like, they'll go to your house and all. They will lock you up if your kid ain't going to school.
Wow. So see, like, they're more strict over here. They're kind of like lenient over here when it comes to, you know, Prince George's County, Maryland area, because it's like almost like, you know, even with some of the parents, I find they're like, go to school if you want to. It's not no push of like encouragement. You need to go to school. It's no push. It's like if you want to, you know.
No, they don't play that here. They don't. You. If you're not going to school, there's better be a medical reason or something. There's got to be something. You can't just not go to school or not take your children to school. That's one thing that I kind of like, you know. But then again, it's always with every blessing, there's a curse, like they say. There's a curse, there's a blessing. So you know, always got to be careful, you know, with everything. But it was like really hectic because they were trying to. Of course, everybody was really nervous to register their child because they know the law, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't want a lot of days to pass because they also know, you know, the law. Not only that, you run the risk of ACS coming and take your children because that's considered abuse.
Wow.
You're not sending your children to school. No, that's considered abuse. So it's like, that, you know, and this year too, they've gotten even more strict. Like, for instance, my daughter, she has a cerebral palsy. So I was very nervous, actually. She's going into fifth grade. She's 10, going to fifth grade, and her reading level is really like one of first grade, and her, you know, academically, you know. So I was really nervous about leaving her, you know, they wanted to put, because there's a new law now that they don't want to keep the K kids that are special ed, in other words, they don't want to seclude them. They want to include them.
Oh, yeah, we have inclusion also.
Right. So now, like this year, more so than any year, is like even more like really with the inclusion stuff. And mm-hmm. I was a little nervous about that because although that may work for some kids, that doesn't work for all children. And as a parent, you know if that's going to work for your child or not. So, you know, I wasn't too sure, and I was not comfortable. And I work at the school, and I know all the teachers and all that, so I still wasn't comfortable with it. But I told the counselor, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to give it his first week and see, you know, how it goes or whatever, because you can't really change anything or question anything until you don't know where the flaws are at. But even with them putting her in a regular class, I found that this year there's two teachers, first of all, in the classroom all the time. There's a separate teacher that comes in to help her with her reading for an hour, and then there's another special ed teacher that comes in and teaches her with her math. So I was, you know, so then I felt a little more comfortable because there's actually, she got four teachers really not attending specially to her, but I'm saying there's still more adults attending to her as opposed to one teacher and, you know, like 28 kids in a class, you know?
Mm-hmm. And see, when I do one-on-ones with the children, which I find a lot of people, you know, are doing one-on-ones, but it seems like they're cutting back the resources. You know, they're starting these mm-hmm. inclusion situations with these kids where they're integrating, you know, the children that are in special ed into the regular kids, mm-hmm. you know. But with them, sometimes it's either like one day that they might do a whole day where they're integrating with the regular children, or they're either doing like a couple of periods. But, you know, I kind of fear because some of the students, like, you know, sometimes you get students who are emotionally disturbed, who are mm-hmm. just used to, you know, assaulting another child. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of a dangerous situation, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes that I feel. And then sometimes even on some of the IEPs, you bring some of the kids and you can see their track record of what they've been through. And they're sitting there talking about, oh, well, they don't need a one-on-one. Are you serious? Like, do you think the teacher's going to be able to handle this child? Mm-hmm. You know, and the school system complains about how much money they don't have. But every quarter they give them a budget. And half of the time you don't see where the budget's going to because the kids are eating the same thing at lunch and either getting sick off the food that they have even at school.
But you know what, Lush? That I have to blame on the parents. Mm-hmm. I have to blame on the parents because, like, even me in the school, I be telling the parents, you know, when you guys have nothing to do, come in and volunteer for an hour or two. Get to know your school. Get to know the teachers that are in here. Get to know the adults that are around your children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how could you not want to know who is the lunch lady or, you know, or who are they? Or, you know what I mean? Like, how could you not want to know and be familiarized with the environment you are putting your child in? You know what most of them say? As soon as I drop them off in the morning, I don't want to see them till 3 o'clock.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so you're dropping off your child in school like it's a babysitting, you know, thing? Like, he's 9, I don't even want to know afterwards, like, more about the child. Like, I don't know. I mean, I just don't understand that mentality. You know, I mean, I understand needing a break because I have children, and Lord knows I pray for them breaks. But still, all in all, I still want to know the environment where my child is at. How could you put your child somewhere and not know where you're putting your child at? I just don't understand that.
You have parents. I mean, especially with the special ed children. You have parents that actually, you know, will leave their child in the front of the doorstep and push them out the door
and run.
Tell them to go for a bus. Like, it's not that child's fault. And they treat the child as if the child is an animal or so. Mm-hmm. And you know, they don't even sit there to wait if the child gets on the bus or anything. Like, you know, I find a lot of nonsense and not a lot of support when it comes to the family unit dealing with these children in regards to their education. I'm seeing more and more lack of participation when it comes to parents and these children in the school system.
But then that's why. Then you know what? We can't fault really the system if the parents are not even taking interest. So that's why I've noticed, like, when I go and I make a big stink, like last year, forget it. You know, when I make a big stink about anything with my daughter, by the way, that's the first thing the teachers tell me. Listen, you have all the rights because you're the parent. Once you say whatever, they have no choice but to be able to do it. But you know what? Not enough parents do it. So they're like, well, whatever. They don't care. So by the way, it's like they match everybody up. You know, like, you know, all black people look alike. All Spanish people carry knives. Like, you know what I mean? So all parents, they just don't care about their children. Not everybody is the same. You know what I mean? So, you know, each parent, like I tell even the Spanish-speaking parents, they're like, oh, but we don't speak English, so we can't. There's other things to do here besides just having to speak English. You know, there's things to do inside of school. Trust me, I get y'all to do things. Y'all don't even have to speak. Just, you know, carry, you know, take books upstairs, do this, move that around. You know, whatever needs to be done, make copies, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Help out. There's a lot of ways to help out that you don't need to speak, you know how to speak any language. Here is a button. See button? El botono. Here. Perfect. You know, and that's it. I mean, that's, you know, so all those excuses. And I let them know. You know, I tell them, listen, I'm a parent as well, and my child is in here. And I want to know every nook and cranny of what's going on up in here.
Definitely, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Last year, we made them, like you said, they do have budgets for everything. They have budgets to be able to do things with the parents, you know, like for parents to come and take computer class and all that. Do you know they give the schools budgets for that and the schools don't do it? Why they don't do it? Because not enough parents participate. Last year, I made them do it. I got on them. I was like, there's a budget for that? We're going to have parents come in and learn some computer. Can you believe I was actually pulling teeth having these parents to come in so they could learn computer? I'm like, oh, my God, no wonder. No wonder. So it's like, you know, I mean, you want to blame, you know, the white man, and you want to blame politics, and you want to blame whatever, but you know what? We all have to really take a look at ourselves and see what we're not doing that's right.
And you know what? You're definitely right about that, especially because, like I said, I'm, you know, you got even the regular kids, like, this is the, like, this year, like, transferring from a new school, this is the first time I've seen children pregnant, like, I mean this vast amount of children pregnant in a high school, and they actually have a daycare, a full-fledged daycare in the high school, which at one point is like, you know, where they trying to do what they do, and they give them parenting glasses, you know, in order for them to, you know, continue doing their school. But at one point is like, are they kind of like encouraging the situation? Because I mean, and you know, it's and a lot of it, majority is the Hispanic young girls at the school, and I'm like, wow, like I've never seen these many children, you know, having babies in there, and these are babies, you know,
yeah, they're babies themselves. You speak to them, and you know they're babies themselves.
You know, and it's just like, and then you're like, where, you know, we can't really blame the school because where's the reinforcement from the family? And even with the special ed children, when it comes to work or even with their coordination and everything, if you don't have the reinforcement from the family, you know, it's basically what is the work for, you know? So it's just a lot of, and parents need to take responsibility of being in their children's lives, you know, actually, because, you know, these children that are either special ed, regular kids, these children don't ask to be here. You guys, you know, decided that you wanted to have a child doesn't mean that, you know, they should be blamed for their actions, because where they seeing their actions, they're taking it from you. Your children are basically a reflection of you, you know. And you got some of the children, you know, at the school that I'm telling you that are like 16, 17 that can't even write their own name or can't even read, you know, it. And that's why a lot of the children take out their anger, because it's basically to defer and let them, you know, let you ignore the fact that they can't read. So they'll pick a fight or something like that because they're frustrated inside, you know. So it's a lot of nonsense. And this whole situation with the whole Barack Obama situation, I think most of the teachers got what Obama was saying in regards to, you know, talking to the children individually. But the nonsense, this is showing you that people have pure bona fide hate, you know, when it comes to things. And they will basically, block their child from good education because of the fact that they can't stand somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Nonsense. Like, you know, people, we need to really grow up when it comes to our children's education. Because honestly, you know what, at the end of the day, these are the kids that have to take care of you when you get older. If you block them from their education, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah,
you know?
And exactly. How, and so who are you going to rely on? The system?
You know what? You know, that's definitely the truth. Who are we going to rely on? Well, I'm going to go ahead and go to commercial, and we're going to come right back, okay?
Okay, Ma.
Okay.
Having a party? Meet a DJ? Meet a DJ? How about the best damn DJ in the business? DJ Hustle. Visit DJ Hustle at HustleEvents.com to book your next surprise birthday party, corporate event, or bachelor party. With over 40,000 songs, DJ Hustle is ready to play any request. Check out DJ Hustle at HustleEvents.com. That's HustleEvents.com. You can never hustle hard enough.
Attention, music connoisseur. Are you frustrated and aggravated from listening to conventional radio? Sick and tired hearing the same lame 20 songs over and over again? You need to be listening to blogtalkradio.com/LushRadioOnline. Lush Radio Online. Hosted by Lushy Lush. Lushy Lush has her ear to the street and plays all the new and independent artists out there. To listen to Lushy Lush, log on to blogtalkradio.com/LushRadioOnline. And don't forget to call into the station, 347-826-7722. Independent artists and record labels can submit music to Lush Radio Online MP3s at gmail.com. Lush Radio Online, you just officially got stamped.
It's your girl, Lushy Lush. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K magazine or www.everything2.com. Or email them at E2K Magazine@gmail.com. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K Magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it, do it, do it.
Yeah, yeah, what's happening? This Big Wishbone, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, this your boy Kool Rock from the Fat Boys. And when I'm in the DMV, I'm always rocking with my girl Lush on Lush Radio Online.
Yeah, we're back with Street Queens and Movement Live Online. With our wonderful street queen Emma of E2K Magazine. And we talk about the state of our children's education, man. And we're talking about also, how was your feelings in regards to, you know, Barack Obama's broadcasting about talking to the children about their education, and also how you felt about the fact that, you know, some schools actually decided that they were pulling their children out because they didn't want him, you know, to basically, you know, say anything to them. But yet, at the same time, they pulled him to watch George Bush speech. What's really going on? And should we sometimes, you know, go back to the parents? Are they, what is the reinforcement? What's going on with the schools nowadays? We're going to bring in a caller from the block number, and I think I know who it is. What's up, Yadada?
What's cracking?
What's up?
Yadada, peace, King.
Yadada, what's up with you, Queen? You know?
Peace.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. Since
I know.
Since I've had all the queens in my presence, man, I feel so special. You know what I'm saying?
How a king should feel.
I do. That's really king-like, you know, to have a bunch of women in his presence. So, no, I don't want to get off subject, but no, I heard you. So, my bad. Proceed, my queen.
Oh, man, that's definitely, you know what I'm saying, so serious stuff right there. So, Ren, what's your take on it? And real quick, sorry to interrupt, but ladies and gentlemen, we might have a special guest live on the show in a few, and we might take a couple of seconds, you know what I'm saying? We have Little Flip that might be calling into the show in a few minutes. So, that's the case.
So,
he might be calling in a few minutes. So you guys go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, how do you guys feel about, You know what I'm saying? How do you feel about that, Ren? You know, the whole situation with the whole Obama situation.
I'm going to be honest. I've had my head wrapped around, you know, not for any selfish reasons, but I've had my head wrapped around, you know, things that I've been doing as far as my business. So I haven't really been able to follow the intricate details of the politics surrounding that subject matter. So, but just speaking from a general perspective, you know, I mean, if it has something to do with cutting education and things like that, you already know, man. I still always feel like people of color get the shorter end of the stick. You know what I'm saying? In all those communities, because the budget is just not equally distributed from the gate. So, and not only that, combined with all the social issues that surround our lives in those urban areas as well. You know what I'm saying? So we're not in those areas where we can concentrate and focus on school. The parents got issues, this, that, and the other. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody in particular, but all that plays a major role. So, I said all that to say that's in addition to whatever the state of the education as far as economics is involved. So, you know, we just push to a disadvantage, man. And for those who are able to squeeze through the cracks, man, it's by God's blessing. You know what I'm saying? Because people know it's systematically set up for people. So.
But what do you think exactly, like, you know, what do you think about as far as the schools, like, and some of the parents actually, like, pulling the kids out of the schools or telling the teachers they don't want their children to see, you know, to hear Obama make a speech without even him making the speech already. It was, like, this whole controversy thing. Like, how do you feel about that?
That's a tough one. I mean, I only said in respect to people having their own perspective about Obama. You know what I'm saying? To me, you know, people never shielded their children from watching George Bush speak. That's
right.
When you really should have had your guard up, because that dude, you never know what was going to come out of his mouth. He couldn't even speak proper English. So, you know, but I don't know, man. It's like Obama is articulate when he speaks. I will say that. So, and I don't know. I can't understand why somebody would shield their children from listening to the dude speak. He seems to have a personality and a perspective that he has everybody's better interest. I mean, that's the way he comes off to me. So, unfortunately, though, you got some grown-ups with some personal hang-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And personal reasons why they don't want their children to hear Obama, which is, I don't know, it's probably, we all know it's, I'm going to just go ahead and say it. We know it's related to racism, because dude is a black man and this, that, and the other. There's a lot of people who are uneasy about him being of African descent and being up in there. They don't feel like a black man, should have that much power anyway. So, you know, that makes a lot of people feel uneasy. Whereas, you know, people of European descent, you know, they got in there, and up until George Bush and wrecked the country. So it was time for a change. You know, let somebody of color get in there and see what they can do. You know, we already showed us what y'all can do. You know.
So?
Pardon me?
Lush?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I thought we lost somebody. Okay.
I don't even know if I'm going off subject, but I don't know, man. It's like I feel like Obama have had a better interest of the American culture. You know what I'm saying? And he wants those blue collar families. You know what I mean? He wants to see equality, I believe, even amongst those families who have that blue collar status. You know what I'm saying? So he wants them to get the correct education. He wants the appropriate medical care for everybody. So people say a lot of his views are very social, like a socialist. But I mean, ain't nothing wrong with being a socialist. I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with that, with equality. So that's all that really is.
I mean, I feel like it causes a lot of rift amongst American people in regards to breaking people up into different classes. Like, you know, it's just a lot of, you know, animosity when you start breaking people up into classes. He wants everybody to just, you know, basically be able to live, you know, basically, you know, without too much of a care. He wants everybody to get out of this rut. But, you know, we have to remember once again, he is a politician and he can only do but so much. But still, like we say, it's up to us as the American people to do our part. And when it comes to our children's education, we really need the parents and we need the United States people, the parents, to work together to try to make these changes, because you guys have voted for, you guys went out and thousands to the polls when it came to Obama, but when it came to your state representatives, you guys didn't go out and vote. So what's really going on? These are the people that affect your children's education.
And in addition to that, right, this might even sound a bit drastic, but I'm all for, you know, I'm a people person. Like, I got a brother right now who probably majority of his children's life, he got a child who's about to turn 8, my nephew about to turn 8, my niece about to turn 4. And majority of their education came from homeschooling, and they're very articulate. As a matter of fact, when they did place them in the public school system for a minute, they were above the children. Like, their comprehension and their reading levels had, you know, they had surpassed what was the expectations of the regular school curriculum. So, you know, so we do have the ability to not even place our kids in that public situation, you know.
Yeah, but it goes back to, like, when I was talking earlier about me, at least where I'm at right now and where I used to be in New York, that the parents come and they can't wait to drop all the kids, like, as a babysitting thing. Like, the last thing they want to do is keep them home.
Right.
You know, they wake them up early and let's go. You got to go to school and I don't see you till 3 o'clock. Is the attitude of the majority, I'm not going to say all, but the majority,
right,
you know,
right,
of the parents. And it's understandable. You got more than one kid, you know, you want it, whatever. But you know what? It goes back to making that fine decision when you know that you're about to bring a child into this world. This is all part of that.
Right.
You know, if you're not going to, you know, go all out for your child like that and make sure that, you know, you educate your child properly as opposed to just dropping off in a school and let them educate them or whatever. If you're not going to be that in tune with your child, then you know what? Then protect yourself. Then don't bringing children out to this world just to be dropping them off somewhere. You know, we have to take, you know, self-responsibility. And that, I don't think we're doing too much of that with, you know, I'm just saying that from my views, you know, what I see. Like, I complain about the school. You know what? I'm up in that school. I want to know what the principal's doing, what they're doing about this, whatever. Whatever's my concern, I'm up in there wanting to find out. I'm not just going to be home complaining, oh, you know what, that school is terrible, this and that. No, I'm up in there every day to see. If it's terrible, why? So what can we do to change it? Like, what can I do as a parent or whatever? I'm here. I don't see a lot of parents, you know, doing the same thing.
Right.
It's like, wow, like, you know, y'all really don't care or y'all just happy that the kid is gone till 3 o'clock. You know, and then what happens after all this time that, okay, they're gone till 3 o'clock, but it's going to come a point that they're going to keep getting older and older and older, and this is what you're teaching them, that you're just happy they go away till 3 o'clock?
It's a lot of nonsense when it comes to the state of our children's education. I mean, it's like, you know, like, where are the mindsets of the children nowadays? At one point, you know, when we were coming up, we were very inquisitive. We wanted to find out information. We wanted to question just basic, you know, school itself. We wanted to learn. We wanted to have debates. We wanted to find facts to back up what we were saying. You know, it's just like, to have this real lax, you know, feeling, and it's not just African American or Hispanic, or, you know, it's also Caucasian children, you know, in general. Also, the children just have this lax feeling when it comes to education. They're like, well, and the way that the economy is like, hey, you got people out here again that have master's degrees and stuff, and they're not getting jobs. They're working at McDonald's. So why should I put forth the effort to do it? And, you know, so
I mean, I would personally tell them, you know, I mean, don't pursue an education simply, you know, I mean, your motivation shouldn't be to get a job to secure, you know, money. You know, you should want to build yourself. That's like an investment. That's investing in yourself. That's what I would say. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got 2 college degrees, but I don't use any of them. I went into business for myself. But I went and did it just so I could learn the discipline and to invest in myself and to accumulate that information. That's, you know, that was really it. I'm, my personal motivation, you know. So that's what I would say. At least have it, you know.
Well, you know, and also we have to say that, you know, this is a hip hop generation, you know. A hip hop generation is
Hey, I'm right there in the middle. I'm right in the center of it. I'm part of that hip hop generation. Holla.
We're in a hip hop generation and basically, you know, hip hop also, you know, I'm not trying to blame hip hop. But basically, they have a lot of weight and pull in regards to these children. A lot of ways that I get through to these children is through music. But see, you got people like Lil Jon that has a master's degree. You have, what's his name, Plies that has a degree. You got Lil Wayne that's actually, you know, behind the scenes going back to school and doing what he has to do. But,
David,
you know,
David Banner, E-40 got a business degree. There's a lot of people with
You got people with degrees and stuff, you know. And see, David Banner, one thing I appreciate about him is that he's now voicing, you know, the situation because, you know, the industry itself tries to mold you into a personality as if, you know, you have to have this gangster feel. But it's okay, and we need to reiterate to this, it's okay to have an education, you know. Not everybody is meant to be a rapper, you know. Not everybody is meant to be a photographer, but you have to find your niche. But how, even if it's formal or informal education, you need to have some kind of, even if you read books mm-hmm. by yourself, you mm-hmm. have to have some source of education. Yep. If you don't have education, how could you even read a contract? How could you read a contract if you're going to go and sign for something? Mary J. Blige said she had to read and stuff because she used to look at the contracts and she ain't know what was going on. Red Fox died broke because he couldn't read. You know?
Wow,
He died. He couldn't read. He basically, Repo Man came to take all his stuff because he couldn't read. You know? They can let you practice and practice a line over and over again just like a parrot and you'll memorize it. But the thing about it is if you can't read, you're doomed. Because why? Because you got other people signing your checks off and buying stuff under your name, and then you're like, wow, I should have been getting more than this. You got your man Ray Charles, right? Ray, back in the day when he first was starting doing this stuff, even though he was blind, we still have Braille for the blind. And at one time, he had somebody that was basically taking money from him. But if he didn't know how to read Braille, which is another form of education, you know, for the blind, if he didn't know how to read Braille, he wouldn't know that his money was missing.
Right.
You know, we have different things, you know, and also in regards to our children, we need to understand that you have Montessori schools, which is mostly a hand-on school for children, and most of our children, you know, minority children are either kinesthetic or either auditory. Basically, kinesthetic is basically a lot of our children like to be more hands-on. They learn better when they actually are forced to do it, you know, versus, oh, well, I want to, you know, keep on, you know, telling you. I mean, they're actually, you know, visual and kinesthetic. Visual and kinesthetic. And most schools, general schools, are basically based on being auditory and visual, meaning that the average and statistic, most Caucasian children learn like that. They can sit in there hours and hours and stuff, and it's no problem for them. But when it comes to African American and minority children, majority of the time, they get bored fast. Even children that have ADHD and stuff, which are they feel like they're not challenged enough, they actually need to be hands-on. They need to be challenged. So most of the children, and I don't feel like most of the schools cater to the children that are basically kinesthetic, that are hands-on children. That's why, you know, honestly, the reason why they created all these trade schools, because they find out that majority of the children are kinesthetic. They like hands-on. Vocational is when you're doing hands-on stuff. Instead of doing your four-year degree or whatever, you know, to get your bachelor's, you know, you're going to a vocational school because they're teaching you hands-on to do what you exactly want to do. Than taking going to 4-year colleges and doing something, your prerequisites and all that stuff, you know. And I don't think that majority of the schools cater to that. At one time, a long time ago, some high schools even offered vocational schools because, you know, you have some of the special ed children that, you know, due to the fact the way they have the system, they don't graduate with a high school diploma. They graduate with a certificate. And these average jobs that they have out here are basically not hiring people unless they have a high school diploma. You know, so they basically set up for failure, you know. They set up for failure, so you're like, wow, you know, what are these children supposed to do after they leave high school, you know? And, you know, at one time they used to have the beauty school or they have the fashion design or they have mechanic or something, you know, as a trade school, which I honestly believe that they need to offer more trade schools for some of these children. It's still education, but it's direct education where they do exactly what they want to do, get it done, and they're able to work in the workforce if that's what they choose to do. I don't know how you guys feel about the situation.
Yeah, at least prepare them for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, give them a plan A, plan B situation, you know, because, you know, like it's true, some kids, like, all right, you want to rap, you want to play ball, you want to do this, you want to do that, okay, fine, but if that doesn't work, you can't always just live on plan A. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have to be able to have them thinking, even at an earlier age, even in elementary already, that, okay, this is what you want to do, and fine, nobody's saying you cannot do it, but, you know, at the same time, you want to do also accomplish this or do that or be prepared for this or for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't tell our kids that a lot. It's like, okay, you want to be a doctor? Right, so then you're going to go on through and just be a doctor. Or you want to just play ball? Okay, just play ball and, you know, that's all you concentrate on. No, it's got to be, okay, you can play the ball, but you also now, you know, what else would you like to do? Okay, you want to do that too? All right, fine. So then, you know, let's study for this as well. Because after you finish, when you practice, you can then read to become a veterinarian or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know, how do you feel about that situation, Renesis?
I mean, I agree. And I want to go on the record and say I believe that in traditional cultures, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When I say traditional, I mean, you know, traditional African, traditional Latin cultures, traditional Asian cultures, we did that. We weren't so one-dimensional. I think all this focus in one area of expertise thing came from a European concept. You know what I'm saying? So it's taking the mind off of being able to, you know, yeah, you could be a doctor, but you can also be a great athlete, but you can be both.
Right.
And you can pursue your academics and all of that at the same time. You know what I'm saying? You want to be a rapper, man? You could be a rapper / chemist. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? I think, but I don't know, man. And I don't mean to dog out America, but the more America has not enhanced anybody, man. It just hasn't. It's only pillaged, raped, enslaved, and built up its own wealth and drained everybody for their resources. So,
because you know what's funny? If you really look at America when it comes to education, and when you look at the English language the American language, not you can't say the English language because they don't actually speak proper grammar here. So if you look at the American language, which is a melting pot of Latin and Greek and, you know, different words mixed together, a melting pot. Half of the scientists in the United States of America are from other countries who have bought the education. People that are teaching are from foreign countries. You very rarely have American people teaching anymore. You have people from foreign countries that are teaching. The American culture, most of the development of most of the things have come from foreign countries, from people from foreign countries. How many people that were here from America have basically really advanced in regards to, electronics and in regards to information? Or really, America has drained a lot of people.
Well, for that matter, name anything. Name one thing that's truly American besides hot dogs and like bologna.
That just sounded too funny. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm saying for real. Name something that's truly, truly American. Everything else has come from everybody else's culture. America's culture is a big melting pot of everybody else's contribution.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
that's definitely the truth, and there's definitely no lie about that situation.
But instead, we're trading in our values and valuable culture, our valuable cultures for chasing after an illusion called the American dream, which doesn't benefit the average class working person.
Can I tell y'all guys something that's real, real crazy? You got 70% of inmates, right? You got 70% of inmates, right?
Right.
That basically blame themselves because they can't read. Half of the kids that begin to give violent acts in regards to their situation is because they're angry because they can't read. So if you can't read, what else can you do? Violence. You have to prove yourself by doing something other than that, because I can't read. So I have to, either fight or do something so people won't look at me indifferent. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got proficiency rates, right? Okay? They said, below basic, right? In fourth grade, you got 54%. 12th grade, 46%. African Americans. Hispanics in fourth grade, 50%. 12th grade, 39%. American Indian Alaska, 4th grade, 51%. Pacific Islander and 4th grade, 23%, and 12th grade, 27%. White, 4th grade, 22%, and 12th grade, 21%, And, I think, and below proficiency itself, this is below basic, but below proficient, they always have, the African Americans at a high number. Fourth grade is 86%. Twelfth grade is 84%. And African Americans, Hispanics, fourth grade is 84%. 12th grade, 78%. This is crazy.
Yeah, those are high numbers.
These are real high numbers. This is high numbers. And the thing about it is they always want to throw the children into special education programs because of the fact they can't read. Just because a child is cannot read doesn't mean that there is special education. That means that basically, number one, that it needs to be enforced. It needs to be enforced in the school from elementary school. In elementary school, the child should already be learning on how to read already, at least identifying words. And doing proper sentences. Then after that, it has to be reinforced in the household. If it's not being reinforced, and you just stated that one of your friends, associates, had homeschooling for their child. So basically, that's being reinforced in the household. Being reinforced, because at the end of the day, people, the school cannot babysit your child, and the school can not always give all the information that your child needs in order for them to be a proper man and woman out here in the United States of America or in society in general. You have to be able to open your horizons for your child. You have to be able to basically enforce, and when you feel like your child doesn't get what they need, you guys need to complain. You guys need to be in the PTA. You guys need to go over there and talk to the Board of Education. It's power in numbers.
Or get proactive and, compensate. Or begin to teach to compensate for what's not being taught to your children. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of us don't have we can't dedicate 100% of our lives as a result of these conditions in this country. You know what I'm saying? In order to stay above water and work and you know what I'm saying? We can't invest in our children like in other cultures or in traditional cultures, because in traditional cultures it's all about the children.
Mhm.
You know what I'm saying? The primary focus is they. We understand in our traditional backgrounds that the children are the future. You know what I'm saying? But we're not cultivating that here. Now you got
schools overseas that are school children are in school 24 hours a day all year round. They're in school.
Yeah,
they don't even get a summer break. Okay, they're in school all year round, and they're constantly getting education, and they're constantly getting reinforced, and they're more strict. Cause I'm from Africa, and you got Emma, you know, that's Hispanic, you know what I mean? And basically, you know, with that situation, when we come here, like in Africa, when it comes to our school, that's our main focus in Africa or in Europe. They're 100% on their children about education. Here in the United States, it's too lax. If the parents are lax about it, why wouldn't the children be lax about it? And then at the other time, like I was saying in regards to, you know, them making more vocational schools attached to the high schools, so if some of these children feel like, you know, they feel like they can't go ahead and do the four-year college, at least they have a trade that they can be certified for in order for them to at least make some type of income. You understand what I'm saying? And also, I feel like the United States of America prepares their children just to basically work for somebody else. I feel like, you know, the children need to basically, you know, be allowed to have, you know, some kind of business-oriented program where they can basically know basically how to do a business plan, you know, basically how to incorporate a business. You know, if you want to incorporate a business right after high school, why can't you? You can. You know, I think they need to be able to incorporate that, whatever little trade. Maybe they already know how to, they don't have proper training for graphic design, right? But they've already learned and they've been messing around it and they've become superior at it. They can make that into a trade. They can go ahead and incorporate that and learn what they need to do. They need to have classes like that also for these children, you know. Because, you know, the only way for you not to be the economical slave in society is by owning your own business. You know, you might do a 9-to-5, you know, for the stable money, but at least you know that this is yours. This is something that you have. We need to have some kind of other optional situation. A lot of our children are in the streets because they cannot read. You have children that have been passed on all the way to 12th grade and cannot read. Who was that football player? I forgot what his name was. It was a football player that was passed on. And this is, they do this a lot with the children that they feel, with our African-American children, that they feel that are jocks or, you know, baseball players, baseball players or whatever, and they feel like, wow, you know what I'm saying, the scouts is here, well, we're going to go ahead, we're going to put pressure on the teachers, we're going to pass him because he's such a good athlete. After he breaks his leg, what does he have to fall on? It leads to drugs, it leads to nonsense, because he can't read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put so much emphasis on that. I think that being able to read, you know, it should be a number one thing for anything. If you cannot read, you can't basically do nothing.
Well, okay. I mean, okay. We can identify all the problems, right? So now we got to talk about solution.
Well, what's the solution?
I don't know. I mean, we gonna sit and, I mean,
everybody being active, being more proactive, and taking responsibility. It goes back to every individual taking responsibility for themselves, for their children, you know, for their decisions, because the kids are here out of a decision that they made for them to have the, you know, bring the child to this world or not, you know. So within that decision, the responsibility is yours once that child is here, for you to, you know, everything that involves the child, which is your environment, your community, their school, you know, and everything else.
That's definitely true. I want to send a
teaching styles, right? Teaching styles, right?
Everybody, yeah, yeah.
Every, you know, I don't know, man. It's, America's curriculum, to me, across the board, has one teaching style.
Yep. It's one standard teaching style.
And you can't apply that to people from different backgrounds, man. Some people, like you said, like black people learn different. People of Latin descent learn different. People of Asian descent learn differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's no way to say everybody. To me, that's pretty arrogant to say we're going to set up one curriculum, and if you can only if you achieve it at learning this particular style, then you're considered educated. Right. If you can comprehend the way this teach or if you can learn how to reading using this teaching style, then you know you flow. If not, you drown. That's pretty selfish.
Mm.
And
also,
we just systematically set up for you know that they know. Believe me, they got enough. America has enough intellectuals here to know that these people. I mean, America has an intelligence department in probably every area. Everything. So they know they got people. They got these think tanks. So they know. They know people. Some people are gonna sink. Some people are gonna be able to swim.
But sometimes I feel like you said, it's a systematic situation, you know, when it comes to these kids. And I want to send a shout-out to Tina Fortune and Miss Susie in the chat room, you know, definitely, you know, supporting the show and everything. And they definitely said that they like the show and everything. Shout-out to you guys. Love you guys and everything. The situation is, you know, it's nonsense. The situation is nonsense. We understand that our children learn differently. The United States of America, the worst thing they created was no child left behind. No child left behind is basically a system that we're lazy. So we're just going to pass every child along. And even if they can't read, who cares? That's the next person's problem. Nonsense. I have to commend the teacher that my daughter had and her pre-K school. I struggled to pay for that pre-K school, but my daughter was able to identify. She was very on the top of her class. When she went to kindergarten, her kindergarten teacher, I looked at, he showed me, he said, these are the books that they give us for standard in regards to, you know, doing work for these kids, which is bland and doesn't teach them nothing. He said, this is the way I teach. I swear to God, my daughter was prepared for first grade, even second grade, by the time she finished this man's class.
Right.
See, go ahead.
No, I was just going to tell you real quick. I'm going to let you finish what you're saying. I'm going to email you something. I don't know if you had time to play it on the show, but it does have. It's a paper I wrote when I was in college. It's called Learning. It was something of learning with music, and I had I had my friend say it over a track that we produced. But I'm give me a minute. I'm going to email you. You can upload it.
Yeah, cool. That's definitely cool right there, man. But I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, it's definitely, you know, a lot of nonsense when it comes to the situation with these kids. I mean, with him, I mean, this guy, I mean, and you also, we need teaching. We're losing. You remember when you guys were coming up and you had that one teacher that you honestly knew really cared about you and really
mm-hmm.
cared that you passed their class? You don't got, you can't teach us that are younger and younger. Not to say that, you know, people that are young can't teach. You got people that are coming in younger and younger who only want to keep their job and get a paycheck. When you got somebody like that trying to get their paycheck, they could care less if your child, you know, graduates or not. We're losing these old veterans. We're losing these veterans that used to care about the kids, or they're either getting sick and tired because there's no reinforcement from the family, and they're just like, you know, oh, well.
Right.
We're
going to care, but you ain't going to care about your own child? Like,
you know, we need reinforcement from teachers. We need reinforcement from schools and everything like that. We definitely need all that support. But to break up real quick, and we'll be back on subject, I think we have a special guest live on the show real quick. Caller from the 770. Greetings and blessings. What's up?
What's up, Les?
What's up with you?
Thanks too much. All right, this is Ronald Porter.
What's up, Ron? What's up with you?
All right,
how you doing today?
Everything is good. What's going on with you?
Ain't nothing much. We sitting here with the lovely Emma E2K Magazine and Renacy live in the building, and we're talking about the state of the children's education, you know, in regards to, you know, what's really going on with the system, the way, you know, the standard of teaching, you know, are people even raising the standards for our children, you know, what's really going on. And, you know, the fact that some of the schools pulled their children out when Obama was doing his speech,
to talk about kids and how they were basically criticized in that situation. Like, what's really going on in America? How do you feel about that?
I think America kind of like is set up to kind of destroy, you know, destroy their young. Like, I don't think they put enough emphasis, you know, like on, I guess we call it like real education, like kids learning, you know, real things that'll put them in a place to be able to survive, getting them ready for real life. And then at the same time, like, I think they focus on the most, you know, silliest things that don't really, you know, that don't really relate to what's going on with the kids. I think, like, one of the major things that really, like, affects me when I look at kids at school is that you send kids to school and they give them, like, books that may be books that were in school before we were in school. And they expect for the kids to be able to really relate to these books when a kid go home and they got a cell phone, a laptop, iPod, video games, everything, and they're living in a high-tech society, but you're expecting them to read, like, antiquated books, you know? And I don't think they really – I was watching a special the other day actually about, like, the juvenile justice system and things like that, how they're not really trying to rehabilitate, you know, kids in juvenile justice systems, that they really trying to push them towards larger jails. I think the parents have to be able to unite together across the board and try to come up with a better answer. Like, maybe it's even got a lot of people that's doing homeschooling and things like that. I think it may be a situation where a group of parents might have to come together and, you know, start educating their own kids at school. I think, like, really the schools is nothing but giant daycare centers where people just sending their kids every day to go just basically sit there. I mean, I hear stories from my kids all the time about, you know, shoot, my son was in class. He was like, the kids was just in there playing cards. You know, it's not really a situation where they're going there to learn. They're just going, like, honestly, just to put it out there, I think that they're sending them to school to make them dumber. You know, like, basically, you're sending your kid there.
Once the government got involved with the whole school system, it was basically a situation to dumb down the children, basically.
Yeah.
So they won't be involved to really question what's really going on in America and what's really, you know, what are these people or the politicians really doing here, especially to dumb down the children. And then, you know what I find in some of the schools, the teachers don't know what's going on. They can't start a lesson without them getting the okay in regards to the school. They don't even have, like, really a lesson plan. Like, I mean, if they don't have a thing that they say that generally that the – because, you know, the actual government has them set on what they need to do from day to day in a book. You got some people that just read a book every day. They don't take the initiative if they don't have an assignment or something set. They just set up an assignment, real-life-based assignment that they're still being educated but they're getting involved in. If you sit in a class and hear somebody say, blah, 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 and you're not getting interactive with the children. The children need to be able to play games with them, be interactive. You know, they're not doing that anymore.
Nah.
You got to cater to that. You have to cater to that child or those children's learning styles too. There is no one set curriculum to be an effective teacher. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how I feel about it. And I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, I just sent you something called Learning with Music. You know what I'm saying? It's a paper I wrote, and I had it. I mean, I explained it once. If you get it, you play it. But I'm not saying you can only use the tool of music, but there are other tools you can use to teach, because everybody has a different learning style. Some people are more visual. They prefer more illustrations. Some people have to look at the print. Some people prefer you to get up and lecture to them and go over the book lesson by lesson or word for word. So I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? And you know, when you have to learn that child's learning style, and you can be more effective. And then again,
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen lately, they have these new books that you can get on iTunes or whatever. They're basically the books read to you. It's like a whole novel. You can read like a whole novel, but it'll read like it's like automated, and it'll read it to you. It'll go word by word, and you can follow the words, and it will read to you. If they had technology like this available for the kids, even with their dictionaries or anything like this, where they can follow word by word, I think it would be a little bit easier for them, because if they don't have that consistency with the parent or teacher, they can basically go at home and say, well, I'm going to read my book, if you know, and they can get the information that they need, you know, because some children need to hear stuff over and over again in order to get it down, and the teacher might not have that time because they only got maybe like 30 or 45 minutes within the class, you know.
I mean, you can be an effective teacher, because my whole thing is this, right? I guess part of it is making it interesting as well. Look what holds the attention of children, right? A child will sit on a PSP, a PS3. They'll sit on MySpace. They'll sit on Twitter all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know children who barely know how to read, but you they can flip your MySpace page.
Oh my God! They can
flip
your MySpace.
They'll flip that MySpace. They had your whole little page twerked out. You're like, whoa! Look at all the graphics and the glitter and this. Got people jumping around on here.
Or they learn all these crazy codes. Like you look, the codes be crazy, and they just know it. Like, oh, this means that. This means this, and this means that. You be like, what?
And then you got children that know how to edit pictures. They know how to edit pictures and do all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And you got children that can set up email files and databases, and they haven't had proper, you know, formal education.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you should take this and harness this and basically give them the steps so they can basically take that and use that as a trade later on down the future if that's their passion. Because we are living in a systematic world. We are living in a world that is consumed with media and nonsense. We have the, like you said, the PSP iPod. Everybody and their mother have an iPod. Every day in the school, I have to tell the kid to take the iPod or the music out of there. If they had an educational system that they can download, that had an artist on it that said, yo, today, yo, you're going to read chapter so-and-so. You know what I'm saying? You need to turn the book this Jay-Z. I bet you they will do it. I'm telling you. This is serious. It's crazy right now. So, people, go ahead.
No, sorry, I was going to say, that's like, you know, anytime you write in a paper or anything, they always say, present your proof. So that's my proof that I know these children are not dumb. America would deem, you know, all these kids of African descent, of Latin descent, Asian, well, not necessarily Asian descent, because they have these stereotypes going on that Asians comprehend and learn faster and this, that, and the other, which ain't true, because I've seen some dumbass, I met some dumbass Asians too.
But you know why they say that? Because of the way they're schooling. I believe that they're the ones, too, that go to school like 6 days a week.
They go to school all year round.
Yeah. And they go like 6 days a week, I think. You know, yeah, like even Saturdays, they're in school like all day. So that's where that comes from, supposedly.
But you know what? I think the problem is, like, you know, another thing that we have a problem with is language barrier. When you're coming from a foreign country that they're teaching you proper British English or grammar, and you come to the United States of America, which every different part of the country has a different dialect, it's kind of hard for them to understand what's going on, because even the teachers talk in different slang and dialect. So it's kind of hard. This is Caucasian and African-American and Hispanic. So it's kind of hard. When you're coming in, you're like, what does that mean? You know, that's not the way we were taught, you know? So you have to take into consideration all these different things are coming in the situation when it comes to this child, you know? Then with situations like I said, like I'm very passionate when it comes to the special ed kids. You know, we have situations where, you know, they're already dealing with either cerebral palsy or autism, emotionally disturbed, ADD, ADHD. Not to say that these children are dumb. A lot of people say, oh, they're stupid. They don't know what they're doing. Some of them children are very advanced in the regular children.
Yeah.
But
they're advanced in certain parts,
right.
You know, and if we could harness that part that they're very high level at, and we can, you know, apply it to a vocational for a trade for them so they could be able to make some kind of income, we would have less children sitting here not doing anything with their life.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah. You know, it hurts me every day to see these children, and you're wondering, like, wow, in a couple of years, these are the children that are going to have to take care of us. We can't outlook them.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, for real, these are the children.
No, that's real. That's real. That's really, really real. That's really, really real.
All right. Rand just said that the other day. I was talking to him on the phone, and my daughter walked in. I asked her what she learned today. She was like, nothing. He was like, man, tell her she got to learn something because she my future. And it don't get no realer than that. But I think that one of the main things is that, you know, the parents, like, parents got to wake up. You know what I'm saying? Like, all across the board, we got to make some kind of connection to be able to recognize, like, what they're doing. Like, the kids aren't able to recognize it because they're in it. They don't know the importance, you know, of what's happening to them. Like you said, they have to take care of us, but they're not developing enough skills in any area of life. You're talking about, you know, social, economic, educational. They're not developing enough skills to, they can do nothing but be steered in a direction. That's what is happening to them. They're being turned completely into cattle. I think with every generation it gets a little bit worse. But like I always feel like we're the last generation that has the ability to recognize what's happening, because like we were able to see things. You know, we were given information from, you know, from your parents, your grandparents. You're able to see things in a way that they can't. So, like, I think that, like I say, we have to be able to unite. Like, this is a good form for something like this to start, but this has to be, like, a nationwide thing, because if you have the time, and it's not just, like, book knowledge, but just to put common sense, you know, back in the mix. And I think the other thing is that we have to get back to trade schools and things like that. I think that's where we lost a lot of black males. Like, you know, people always talk about, like, W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington having these debates and disagreeing about things. I think, like, that's something that's really important, because I figure that when I was in school, by the time I got to, like, the eighth grade, probably that's when drugs really started kicking in and, you know, dudes committing crimes and stuff. But I think that if they would have offered those kids the opportunity to go to a trade school, like maybe you go in the morning and learn, you know, your math, your reading and this and that, and then in the afternoon, you go and you learn your trade, and maybe they give you, you know, $4 an hour while you're there. If they would have implemented that back in the 80s and the early 90s, I guarantee you that most of these dudes that you find that's either in the penitentiary or dudes that's been killed because of drugs and stuff like that, a whole lot of those guys wouldn't have gotten to that game. So we have to be able to try to implement, you know, thinking outside the box to come up with ways to be creative. Like what you're saying is true as far as, you know, certain kids being good in certain areas. They got to be able to maximize that. And like I say, it's got to be a different standard set in life. It can't just be what they give us.
Yeah, because, you know, in regards to what you were saying, like, honestly, I believe that what he just stated is true also in regards to the average children, because, like I said earlier, percentage, like 70% of the inmates in jail stated that a lot of the fact was they were angry that they couldn't read. So they go in jail and they try to find or teach themselves to read or something to do extracurricular activity, but half of the time, and I find some of the children that are in there that are angry or go to juvenile, it's because they cannot read. And half the kids, if you see them on the street, right, they're trying to compete against children with the different clothes and stuff like that. If they're flipping quote unquote birds, as they say, or they're flipping bricks, and they feel like, okay, I'm making a certain amount of money, we have to show them a logical and legal way that they can still make the same amount of money, but use that same knowledge they have for the streets and apply the. We have to do this with these children. We have to get through to these children.
That's real.
Because, swear to God, these are the children that have to look out for us later on down the road. Because if they don't have a bus, are either going to be thrown into some, what is it, the nursing home, and we'll never see our children again. You know, for real.
I mean, it's funny, though, because nowadays, the negative stuff is celebrated, right? I remember a time when a lot of stuff wasn't celebrated. Like going to jail. That was embarrassing back in the day for parents. You know what I'm saying? Where your son at? Oh, he on vacation. You know what I'm saying? They were scared to say he in jail. But now since those terms have become a little more friendly and all these negative, you know, this negative energy has been pushed into the universe and everybody is accepting of it. I mean, especially over here, I won't say into the universe, I'll say into America. America mostly emphasizes that and or accepting of that. You know what I'm saying? Because in traditional cultures, they still embarrass. You can still shame your family by doing certain things. You steal, you're like, oh, he's a thief. He write him off quick. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of that stuff is accepting over here, man, and it's being fostered and into the minds of the youth, and nothing, no energy is being spent in correcting that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, I'm taking a stand today. I ain't about to celebrate none of that. You gonna say you going to jail? I'm gonna be like, man, get away from me. Unless you've been locked up for a good reason. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, man, I'm not gonna sit there and praise you because of that.
Renesse is right about that. Renesse is right. We need, as American people, we need, as a people in the whole, to stop praising these children for this stuff. I mean, blame, you know, hip-hop music and stuff like that. Yes, music had a lot of people sold their souls to the devil to promote some of the stuff that they had to do. You know what I'm saying? Out here when it comes to the music. But I'm not going to blame all of them. But some people did have choices to do what they had to do. But really, a lot of these kids see it, well, you know what I'm saying, a goon. Back in the day, when we heard about it, a goon is a person that is a straight-up undertaker that'll go and kill you. And a lot of these kids is running around talking about their goons and they doing this, and they've never seen the streets for nothing, but this is what they hear, and this is what we promote. You got, just like Renesse talked about Kim Kardashian, she got praised for having intercourse with Ray J.
Yeah,
and now
praised.
She has a reality show and she's getting money.
But see, that's racial as well. So you can't talk about that without addressing the racism within it. And it's all connected to racism, the way funds are unequally distributed. But especially in that sense, where Kim Kardashian, she's on the internet giving head, and now, you know, she has a TV show and a whole bunch of endorsements and this like that. But you speak on somebody like Whitney, oh, she's on drugs. Even though she can still sing, it put a dent in her career. Now everybody wants to throw tomatoes at her. Oh, she's no good. And let one little thing scar where she's the I don't know how many decades of music she's put out there, but you scar that many decades of her musical contribution based on this one little issue. Come on, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's and it's insignificant.
Well, I don't think it was a little incident. It was like 8 years of incidents.
I mean,
I think it's a big significance because she had a lot of people that really looked up to her. Not to say that that's a reason to throw her tomatoes or whatever. Everybody should be given a second chance. You know, I believe in that. But, you know, let's not minimize what she's done too. But everybody has to be given a second chance, in all fairness, you know. But to say that, in comparison, to say that, you know, to do a sexual act and you know, you get praised and you get all these sponsors to, you know, you fell through the cracks or whatever and, you know, exactly, I use that word, crack. And then, you know, and nobody wants to give her the same fair chance. It's like, you know what I mean? Like that, yeah.
The difference is, as far as I'm concerned, and, you know, as far as Whitney smoking coke or coke crack, it's all he say, she say. There is nothing on the internet to substantiate that. There is something on the internet.
There is her pictures and her voice. I mean, I'm not going to say necessarily I wasn't there to see her smoke crack, but she was doing something. She was doing something. She was doing something that was not healthy.
But she doesn't owe us to sing to us either.
No, no, no. I mean, nobody really owes us anything either. I mean,
if Kim Kardashian owes us to not put that type of material out there, let that leak. I mean, Ray J should be held responsible for that as well. You know,
right? He's the one that did it. He's the one that did it.
No, it's a two to tangle.
But nobody came at him like they, you know, like they went at her.
You're
again.
Right.
The woman and man thing, you know.
He's one of the exceptions too. He's Drew was an exception for that because you know. But it's
enjoying that. That's a knock on his belt.
I don't want my child. If I have a child, I don't want my child to grow up and be like Ray J either. I don't want my daughter to be like Kim or my son
mm-hmm.
to be like Ray J.
Well, he's
no.
a product of his own environment too. I mean, really, you know, Brandy's little brother, so he wanted to get out of that one way or another, and he did it with this.
He had to create a name for himself, you know. Even though, you know, the thing about it, even though in the media eye, people are human beings, but at the same time, we have to understand that they have more pressure on them than the average person does. Because a lot of children and people, like Miley Cyrus, people look up to Miley Cyrus as that girl next door. Miley Cyrus took her little pictures with her father, and they made a whole big deal about it. And, you know, it's like, you know, dang, you know, but it's gone the next day, you know what I'm saying? But say it be, you know, a black kid, you know. But you got Ray J, they slid through the cracks, but they would just, you know, ridicule the person and basically destroy their career.
Yeah.
So, you know, the situation is we need to stop praising all of these crazy acts that's going to affect them from one situation that causes these children to do certain things. And, like, and if we don't nip it in the butt now, who knows what's going to happen in the future. I think that we all need to take responsibility for our actions.
Not to beat a dead horse, but Whitney's quote unquote crack abuse. It was very different than the whole
allegedly crack abuse.
alleged crack abuse, or that's what I say, quote unquote, because I don't want to go on the record and say because I've never seen her smoke it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Allegedly.
She didn't sit there with a camera phone and film herself and throw it up on YouTube. You know what I'm saying? It's just people saying these things. So I'm saying it was handled very differently, and probably it's a generational thing than the way Kim and Ray handled theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because that leaked all over the internet. I don't know, man. I got it
uploaded, Renacy. So we're going to go ahead and play Learning with Music by Renacy. You know, basically, you know, telling a different way of, I guess, well, Renacy, explain this to us before I play it.
Well, actually, I used it as a final assignment. I was supposed to have wrote a paper and gave an oral presentation based on my paper about different learning styles, and I wrote a paper about learning with music, and to substantiate my point, I went into the studio. I didn't read it myself. I had my friend read it over some music, which made it much more enjoyable. Man, I had people ready to buy the CD from me. But so that's it, really.
So here we go. We're going to play Learning with Music. I want you guys to think about this. You know, call in if you have any thoughts at 347-826-7722. And then when we come back, we're going to get our closing thoughts on that. And real quick, we're going to talk about the pastor who wants Obama to die. What's going on with that one? You know what I'm saying? So we're going to go ahead and go there in a few minutes, but we're going to go ahead and play Running with Music.
Since the beginning of his time, music has played an important role in the lives of many human beings. It has been an essential and necessary component in all ceremonies, rituals, and gatherings of many sorts. In most cultures, music is a vital element used during religious practices, political forensics, athletic events, and other common festivities. The popularity of music has grown far beyond its cardinal importance in cultural traditions.
In fact, a large percentage of non-traditional people spend a great portion of their day listening to the sounds of music. Studies have shown that music carries the ability to cultivate, captivate, and manipulate human emotions. Music can put anyone in great spirits, or it can provoke tears. It is the inspiration for singing, dancing, or some. It is used to send people into a deep state of relaxation. Music can sound orderly, or it can foster a perception that is chaotic. It has the power to consonate or dissonate couples, groups, and even environments. What is most interesting is that the impact of music on emotions exists in subconscious minds. Music affects the lives of various people in innumerable ways. It can influence how people spend their money, or even how a person votes. The sounds of music can help individuals to identify with or cause that person to feel rejected by a particular social group. All of these phenomena are examples of the effects that music has on human mind and behavior. The subject of music is a fairly old topic in most conversations. However, its interconnection with human behavior is relatively new. Music is now of interest to everyone. Psychologists have begun working on such diverse topics as learning, memory, language, neuropsychology, sensation, perception, behavior, emotion, skill, intelligence, development, education, sociology, and therapy. Conversely, psychology frequently fascinates musicians. Whether theorists interested in the cognition of musical structure, performers and teachers seeking to improve their understanding of practice and performance skills, or musicologists studying the history of music from a sociological perspective. Ron and Nancy Brown stated, "Throughout history, music has remained a universal language, central to every culture of the world. It has been used to entertain, communicate, educate, inspire, and instill a sense of social and communal understanding. Rhyme, rhythm, and movement have historically prevailed as teaching tools that have infused the values, morals, and customs of individual societies. Music has allowed members of the global village to process and retain massive amounts of information. And like many other art forms, it has always allowed for individual perception and reflection. Rhythmic patterns and vibrations have profound effects on the body and emotional states. Isolated tones, scales, and simple tonal sequences have all been found to have an energizing effect on the body. Music charges the metabolism, affecting muscular energy by raising or lowering blood pressure. The heart, which normally beats between 70 to 80 times per minute, can be regulated by listening to faster or slower tempos. Music reduces mental fatigue, calms tension, focuses thinking, and stimulates creativity and sensitivity. It appears that listening to music stimulates the release of endorphins, the pain-relieving chemical structurally similar to opiates, which are produced in the brain to relieve pain and produce a euphoric state. So you see, with or through music, the brain could be a lot more receptive to information. Neurologist Oliver Sacks, author of the book Awakening, states, "The right kind of music may be a special benefit to people with neurological disorders, and may even move those who can't walk to dance, those who can't speak to sing, and those who can't remember."
You're listening to Lush Radio Online. Lush Radio Online.
Yeah, it's Lushy Lush back on Street Queens, the movement. And, you know, we gave you guys, a snippet of, you know, learning with music, because we were talking about the state of education with the kids and everything like that. And, you know, he brought, you know, some good thoughts in regards to that whole situation, you know, because, you know, it's serious, you know, how the music affects the kids and everything, and these big artists that are doing their thing, you know, how they can mold and change the world with just their words and their music and stuff, you know. which I think you made a great point on that, you know, and I definitely want to have the full version, you know, in rotation on this Friday, you know what I'm saying? So if you want, guys want to hear the full version on Friday. And like I said, we're going to do our closing thoughts in a minute, but I think we might have our special guest live on the show real quick. Caller from the 713, you're live on Lush Radio Online, Street Queens, The Movement. What's crack-a-lackin'?
Yeah, what up? This is the Black Al Capone and the Toy Thunderboss over at Clover G Records with Lil Flip. What's going on, Lush?
What's up with you, man? That's my homie. What's up? What's up, Black Al Capone and Lil Flip? You're live on Lush Radio Online.
I'm calling you to let you know about we're going to be about do it in about 30 more minutes, 30 more minutes, all right?
Okay, in 30 minutes? Okay. All right.
Flip will be finished with his last interview and then you the next one.
Okay, cool beans then.
I'll be back in from this number right here.
Okay, cool. All
right.
How you good? How you been?
Yeah. You know, okay. I'm staying in the struggle, stay getting it, you know what I mean, staying grinding. We know what we got to do over here to make it happen and move into this next millennium, you know what I mean?
That's what's up, man. 30 minutes, that's what's up. All right.
All right, how you been doing?
I've been doing great, man. You know what I'm saying? We were just talking about, you know, the state of the children's education and everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, basically, children learning a different, you know, facet and different manners and stuff, you know, and basically how to influence, you know, on the children, like, with the music and everything, like, you guys in the music industry, and like Renacy is also an artist, and we played one of his essays he did a long time ago, Based with Music, and he was talking about how music just molds us and, you know, basically can make us do different things subconsciously that we don't even know just by the power of your word. You know, how you feel about that?
No doubt. I believe in the same. I believe in that. You know, you got to be careful of what it is, you know, about being a follower. I believe in it.
Hello? It sounds like you broke up real quick.
If I lost connection.
Yep.
I don't believe
in the follow the leader situation. So, you know, I mean, you know, I see it as like, you know, each person has to go. If I like tomatoes, that don't mean that to me. If I don't like vegetables, you don't like vegetables. You know what I mean? Now, we both in that. You gotta teach them vegetables for our health, and food is good for our health. But just because our opponent eat it, I mean, if you don't want to eat it, because what I eat, you know what I'm saying? Goes to saying that, you know, food don't mean that physically, food is basically a mental. So physically, it's like we can put food in the body, but the real food is when you build signs, you know, reading and developing, you know. Now, a lot of rappers, I'm a rapper, so, you know, I'm a gangster.
I think you were kind of breaking up, Al.
I got some music. You know, the new album called Boss, The Last Man Standing by DJ K Slay. I make gangster music. You hear me?
I'm
gonna come on this. My name is Renacy, man, and I know you making your point, but unfortunately your phone breaking up. So,
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. That sounds clear right there.
Can you hear me now?
Sounds clear right there. Yeah.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Go reiterate all you were saying, man, so people can catch everything you were saying.
I was saying is this: I don't play follow the leader. I am a leader, and I believe in teaching everybody to be leaders. I don't believe in being in a room full of followers. Followers can get, you know, they it's like a cat with a ball of string. If you play with it in front of the cat long enough, it'll follow anything. You know what I'm saying? So what I teach is this: just because Al Capone don't like vegetables, I do like vegetables, but I'm just giving you a point of view. If I don't like vegetables, that don't mean that you like vegetables. If I don't like fruit, that don't mean that you like fruit. You know, we must teach this everybody that fruits and vegetables is good for you and they're healthy for you in order for you to sustain life. But if me as a rap star don't like it, that don't mean that you don't go out there and do it. If I say, hey, I'm about to smoke me a blunt, that don't mean, hey, I'm going to teach you to smoke a blunt. I'm telling you, smoking a blunt is bad for the average person, but smoking a blunt might be great for me. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, you know, we can't just teach, you know, I'm in gangster music. My new album is called Boss Up, The Last Man Standing. I'm in gangster music. You know, Les know how, you know, she know how I get down. She know how to, you know, I've been on the radio station, so she know that, you know, my music is real, you know, it's geared for an adult. But it's also geared for an adult, you know, to hear gangster music, but also hear a solution to the situation. Like my new joint is called Mr. Officer. It goes something like this. Mr. Officer, Mr. Officer, why you pull me over? Mr. Officer, Mr. Officer, why you pull me over? Then the officer goes, you got a license? And I go, check. You got a registration? I go, check. You know what I'm saying? You got any drugs in the car? Can I check? And I go, hell no. Hell no. Why? For the simple fact, he has to ask you, can you check? And then you got the opportunity to say no. And if you, and he can pull you out the car and still search you, it's an illegal search. But see, the average kid don't know that. They get out the car, but you don't even have to get out the car when he asks you. If you got last registration insurance, you never have to leave your car.
Right.
You barely even have to roll down a window.
Right.
To be honestly. They have to see into the car, but I'm saying is if that topic is like, you know, where's rappers nowadays with many children and being responsible for what's going on, I'm feeling like, you know, if there's not going to be too much responsibility what's going on if every song that's out right now is about dancing and we're teaching the children how to dance, but we're not teaching them how to survive a new world order or the new millennium in life or sustaining how to get food out of the store or sustaining how to make water out of the ground, or sustaining how to build a house, or sustaining actually how to take care of your family, or how MGC or GCC, Muslim Girl Trainer Gender Civilization class, to teach a woman to be a woman. How could a man, you know what I'm talking about? Because nowadays it's saturated for girls dancing, girls shaking their ass in the videos, the children seeing it, the children are growing up faster than what they're supposed to do, you know? You get my point of view?
That's true.
It's like everything is subliminal messages. If you look at the commercials, they have tampon commercials, the girl is half naked. You have a Victoria's Secret commercial, the girl is half naked. This got nothing to do with music. It's just television, period. It's like everything is subliminal messages to geared for our children to be naked faster than what the hell they need to be.
That's true.
That's
very true.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, That's real. That's real. You know what I mean? I agree. I agree totally. Believe me.
Are we going to stop this or make a change for this? No, because right now with our economy going down, if you know the oldest religion is girls, you know them broadcast. You know they have to generate economics, and the only thing that's going to generate economics when there is no economics to be generated is sex sales.
Mm.
So. That's the oldest, that's the first situation when you had the belly dancers in the tent stripping off until they got thimbles, and now we have them, you know, you change the game around, it doesn't make no difference, but it's the same stuff, man. There's no difference. It's like, you know, it's been happening since day one. It's going to keep on happening.
Not to cut you off, but can I ask you then, what would be a suggestion for a solution for that?
That's easy. Easy. All right. Let me control the news stations for a little while. See, because this is what I would do. I would put all the problems on the news stations for one whole hour, and then one whole hour, the next whole hour of the news station, I will show the solutions to the problems I just gave y'all. See, because what happens is the news only shows accidents, deaths, the weather, hurricane coming. Everything is geared to put fear into what's going on. People got beat up. Person got shot. Girl got raped. This and the third. Da-da-da. They never show you no solutions, and they never show you no happy times that's actually really happy. They might show the little such and such, such and such, such and such, such and such. But keep in mind, if they show one thing that, you know, it was happy, it was 2,000 things that was really happy. Like, you dig what I'm saying? It's like they don't show no solutions. It's easy to come up with solutions. All right, dang, it's an accident. Every day they show an accident on the corner with a stoplight. All right, redesign the stoplight to the accident to a stop sign. And then, all right, we wouldn't have no accidents on that corner. All right, but are they really showing the true accident where we have an ombudsman We have an alderman who's on this side of the street, controls this neighborhood. We have an alderman who controls the opposite side of the street. He controls that neighborhood. And we have one street in the middle of it. All right. And on this side of the streets is all cracked up and fucked up and messed up, and they have no money to fix this whatsoever. You walk 15 breaths across the street, and they have money to rebuild everything with skylights. Tell me how is that so? You tell me how the Constitution tells you you can't tax any vitamin, mineral, or nutrient on the planet Earth, but yet we buy bottled water at 7-Eleven.
True.
So we're fighting a real battle because the Earth is, you know, 3/4 of water, and it's 3/4 of water of our body. We don't have to eat, but we have to drink.
That's true.
So you tell me, are we really fighting the right war? Are we fighting a war where we should be fighting and thinking about focusing on the water? Or are we so worried about black and white when we really should know that there has never been, you know, a black person put a black man in slavery first? Let's clear this up real quick. They taught us to, you know, our forefathers taught us to be intelligent, or did they teach us to be stupid? We're talking about our forefathers, our grandparents, our mother and our father. Now, could they, our mothers and fathers, actually teach us to be intelligent when they was taught to be stupid? Or did they know the truth and they didn't tell us the truth? And if anyone who was taught the truth, they was taught to be intelligent, but everybody else was taught to be stupid. Do everybody understand what I'm saying real quick?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like every slave that came over on the ship was a coward. Because every slave, this is my opinion, because every slave that didn't come on the ship was actually soldiers, because they had to get rid of the soldiers. So anybody who said, man, I'm not going on this, I'm not going nowhere, and they stood up, oh, they threw him over the ship to the sharks. Get rid of him. Anybody that fought back on Haiti and Jamaica and these islands when they stopped for these 3 months, oh, get rid of him. Kill him. Now, all you ones that you see in this, kill him and throw him over the sharks, and y'all scared and y'all going to shut your mouth? Y'all going with us. So back down when he got over here, how could you have actually 50 people, you know, that could be one together and have two people watching you, but you won't overthrow them? Because you had to be implanting fear inside of you. It had to be based upon fear.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the same fear that people nowadays stood up to stand strong and don't want to grow? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is this the
you
same
definitely
fear
make a valid planet? Point.
Yeah, is this the same fear?
I understand what you're saying. I do.
Is this the same fear that is implanted us that we will not be successful? Is this the same fear that we can't put 10 black people together and we're going to go buy a Walmart for ourselves and not worry about who's going to hold the money?
Wow.
Is this the same fear when we're chasing G-O-A-L instead of chasing G-O-L-D?
Mm.
Are we chasing G-O-L-D instead of chasing G-O-A-L? Because we are taught to chase G-O-L-D. We're not taught to chase G-O-A-L, because anybody that goes out and say, I'm learning G-O-A-L, he looking like a goddamn hypocrite to the hood. What the fuck you mean you're trying to get out the hood? What do you mean you want to be intelligent? We was taught to be stupid. We was taught to peel a banana, not fry it.
Mm-hmm.
We was taught the tomato was a vegetable. Is it a fruit or is it a vegetable? Is it tomato or tomato? What is one? Is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We was taught Harriet Tubman's life was a lie. We was taught that, you know, we was taught Monopoly was about buying real estate instead of it being really Harriet Tubman's life.
Wow.
We wasn't taught that shit brought the slaves over here. We wasn't taught that dog chased the slave through the woods. We wasn't taught that man had to track the dog so he to track the slave so he had to track him on horseback. We wasn't taught we was denied the slave was denied the shoe until we needed them needed us to fight a war. We wasn't taught that Harriet Tubman's life was the thimble and the iron because she was the Eastern Star, because she was the one that spoke in red languages and things of that nature, and that she was an in-house slave, and while Chicken George was the head nigga in charge. And her job was a seamstress, and, you know, and did she sew and cook? We wasn't taught that. We wasn't taught that the Monopoly escaped from the South and ended up in the North. And once you got past the Macy's line, you was a free slave. You got 20 acres and Jew Moo Jack Spike Lee. We wasn't taught that. We wasn't taught on that board you get cracked for $200. If your paperwork ain't right, you go to jail and get out of jail card free. And we wasn't taught that we was branded as a motherfucking Carolyn by a branded the same way as Alpha, Gamma, Phi.
Mm-hmm.
We wasn't taught that. We wasn't taught that when Harriet Tubman got caught on her last trip that she had to, they gave her a part in the design of major railroads, and we got the four major railroads on that board. We wasn't taught that. We was taught to go play the game, and it's only going to cost $3-4. See, I'm saying, I'm not for sure if y'all really want to talk to Al Capone, because I'm a gangster rapper, but I'm not stupid.
Well, now, see, we do want to talk to you because you're not stupid. We don't like talking to stupid people either.
No, I love Al Capone because when he come on, he drops some real knowledge.
We already know what we wasn't taught. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
what we wasn't taught. I mean, all the things.
No,
you know,
but hold on. Was we not taught that, or did we not see what we was being taught? See, it's two different things. Because in actuality, my metaphor was we was taught that, but we can't recognize what we was taught because people who were teaching
us
was blind.
Okay, my point is this. I know what we were taught, and I will know what we weren't taught. Bottom line is, we were taught to serve them up.
So,
I mean, everything you spoke on is everything you spoke on was to illuminate their greatness, not ours. You know what I'm saying? So, we in total agreement with everything.
Yeah. See, because like we was taught everything, but the people who was teaching us was so scared of losing us, they taught us in technology. They didn't teach us straight up and down. They taught us in technology because they were so scared of what we were. They were so scared of us being and saying, "No, we're not going to do this," and "No, we're not going to do this." They knew what the forefathers said. Hell no, they'll cut your feet off, they cut your tongue off, they cut your hands off, they cut your what you call them? They hang you from the tree, they whoop you, they do that and the third, and then you had Eazy-E to say fuck the police. And it comes to find out in the Constitution, you can say fuck the police and not go to jail. But keep in mind, nowadays you can say fuck the police and fuck the president and not go to jail. But keep in mind, back in the day, if you said fuck the police and fuck the president, you was persecuted.
But prior to Eazy-E, you had Huey Newton who got out his pistol and said fuck the police with pistol in hand. You know?
Yeah.
So.
And then prior to him, you had Martin Luther King. I mean, you had Malcolm X, Mr. Shabazz himself. Stand at the window with the AK and say by any means necessary. And prior to them, you had Clarence X. 13 Smith, who stand up and say that the black man was God and the Caucasian man was the devil, and that he was going to teach knowledge, wisdom, understanding to every child because everybody else was teaching the adults, and they killed him before because he wanted to teach the children and not teach the adults, and he was going to teach the children how to speak a broken tongue. Of a forgotten language that was always here.
Hmm.
So in prior to him, you had people like Barnabas, Frederick Douglass, you had Marcus Garvey,
yeah, yeah.
You had Mike Evans.
Yeah, that's real.
But hold on, forget all them because they ain't nothing. Because if you ain't have Malcolm, Lincoln and his black woman teaching him to free the slaves, it goes back far as that. Because then you got to have deal with the signs of what? You have Nelson Mandela. You had Winnie Mandela who stayed in there and ran that part time for 27 years. You had before her, you had Cleopatra who went over there and had to hold down Egypt with a million man army. You had Nefertiti. Cleopatra had 3 million. Nefertiti had a million man. They were generals in the army, females. You had Harriet Tubman. You had a million slaves that came through that was niggas swinging a sword, and they rah 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 in the jungle. But you had a woman who set up the thought and the motions of saying, "Here, I'm gonna manipulate and control y'all niggas to help me get this stuff down here." Then you had Betty Shabazz who held down Martin Luther King, Dr. Betty Shabazz. You know, who held down Malcolm X when he died and made sure that we wore black beads and everything else and used our respect to a man on a T-shirt because she kept him alive. And you had Coretta Scott King who held Martin Luther King alive while he was there to make sure that the university and that Arizona was going to make sure they respected her man and going to give him a day of rest. You know what I'm saying? And then you had Megan Evans. He got killed out in front of y'all, in front of his children. You had his wife to go back to court every year to bring on people back to jail. Now they're on death row. And this is 20-something years later, 30, 40 years later. So behind every great man, you got to look at his reflection. You look at his choice of a woman. So It takes a man to have it, but it takes that village and that nation to develop it. That means all minds come together as being one to create one mind, one thought, one progress. So it's like, okay, Yeah. That's what it's about. Yeah. All right, you got the great, you got them great men. All right, but what about them great women? That's what niggas be writing the book about. Is
that's what I'm.
You think Malcolm X would have became changed his name to Mr. Shabazz if his woman wasn't saying, hold on, everything I'm not feeling comfortable with Elijah Muhammad is doing with these women and these children on the other side. No disrespect to Elijah, but this is what the movie said, and this is what the book said, and this is what, you know, according to her words and her daughters, this is what she said. So I'm not speaking in and causing a problem. I'm just giving you the theory is that do you think Lincoln would have not freed the slaves if he wasn't in the back house sleeping with that woman and he had three or four babies that he had by those babies? He's coming home every night, goddamn it. He coming home and then she's like, man, please, I'm about to die. You going to die. They're going to kill us all. And then if you die, my baby's going to be slaves. Now what? So we're gonna be slaves, all right? So you die and something happens to you, we're gonna be slaves. You're not sleeping with the white woman in the front house. She's only for picture. Me, I'm the one who's sleeping with you. I'm the one who having your children. I'm the one you eat my food. You eat my cooking. You come home every night in the back here with me, Lincoln. You sleeping in the back house with me. You even got me going to church with you.
Mm. Wow.
So you really think that you're not gonna? You really think that this dude ain't sitting here with a black woman and she ain't gonna be a black woman because she was a slave? Now keep in mind, she done had a couple of babies by him now. So now she's a woman now. Now she's a woman. She'll fuck all that slave. Let's throw the slave shit out the woman. This is called woman. With the manipulation of the punani. You know, had one baby and had a couple. Okay, yeah, Lincoln, yeah. You back here with me, daddy. Yeah, baby, you here with me. If something happened to you, you think this lady ain't going to auction us off to another farm? You think she ain't going to have me out here picking cotton? I'm living good right now. Baby, my dresses is clean. You got me in church. You know this and the third. You breaking all kinds of Masonic. You just breaking all kinds of oaths.
Yeah,
now you really think that you really think that she ain't have nothing to do with changing of the world? You really did? Now come on, all y'all ladies that's listening to this right now, y'all call in and tell the truth right now. You really think that this lady ain't have nothing with the changing of the world? You really
absolutely
think that we
gonna, every woman has something to do with the changing of the world? This is Emma E2K Magazine, and you definitely know I support the woman movement all day long. So
yeah. That's what it is, man. If anybody got something to say what I'm talking about, you can holler at me at 713-384-2655. That's the Black Al Capone, Clover G telephone number right there. This is the Black Al Capone and the Toys and the Boss over at Clover G Records with Little Flip. Last Man Standing, Boss Up album coming out. You dig what I'm saying? Hosted by DJ K-Slay. Give a shout-out to Lush Radio. Give a shout-out to all the ladies in the world. And also, always keep in mind, I got that song out there, Dear Mama, because there's a mama out there somewhere. You a mama even if you ain't a mama, because the person next door to you got a child, goddammit, before it hit the streetlights come on, you better be telling them to get in the yard, because that's the way a mama's supposed to think. You dig what I'm saying?
Y'all need to start
mothering some children that ain't yours. You ain't got no child. Well, go out there and start taking care of five children that ain't yours. And you ain't got to worry about having no children. You just start taking care of some of the ones that these niggas ain't taking care of in the first place.
Well, I'm
and
doing. I got three that I'm taking
Emma,
care
that's
of.
That's what Emma does. That's what Emma does. So she's testimony to that. And we definitely want to thank you, Al Capone, for
no doubt.
Coming through, man.
This wasn't my interview. I was planning on doing less radio sometimes next.
That's
kind of messed up because I was just
not
my interview. I plan on doing less radio sometimes next month when my album gets dropped. But all y'all, I love y'all. If y'all got anything to say, you know I'm very controversial about my words. You know I'm very controversial about what it's
Please come
on.
Back. We definitely want you back. This wasn't an interview. We were just talking on a topic.
Yeah.
You're going to
come
back for your interview.
Okay, that's what it is, and like you know, hopefully I ain't you know ruffle no feathers, but it is what it is. You dig what I'm saying?
Exactly. The truth is the truth. The truth stands by itself. So.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah. And I think the gentleman also agreed too. You know, Renacy and my boy Ron Porter live in the line. You know, I know they definitely you know agree with some of the majority of the stuff that you stated, and we need to you know. Bring the world to realization of what's really going on, and due to the time, in a couple of minutes we'll have Flip on the next show in a few minutes. But we just want to wrap this up real quick.
You about to hold in 1 second, so I'm about to put Flip on the phone.
But I'm gonna have to like hang up and call back in to start the next show.
Okay. Well, call back in and call back my number then. My 713 number 713-384-2655. Y'all can hit me on MySpace, .com/ Black Al Capone. You can tweet me, Facebook me, email me.
I'm on Twitter. What's your Twitter?
Everything to me is Black Al Capone. Anything I got something to do with Black Al Capone. B L A C K A L C-A-P-O-N-E. I own that name. It ain't the white one, it's the black one. I black out on everything I do. I don't do nothing half speed. Everything I do is 110%. Everything.
That's peace. Definitely. We want to thank Black Al Capone. We want to thank Venice that's always coming through, you know, and definitely, you know, you're going to hear the full version in regards to music, learning with music on this Friday. You know what I'm saying? It's an eye-opener to tell you how much music captivates the lives of children in the world. You know what I'm saying? And we also want to thank Ron Porter. Definitely support both of them. And in their music, also Google Ron Porter and Google Venice all over the place, and Google Black Al Capone and Lil Flip. So definitely support all of them in their movement. Also support E2K Magazine online, you know what I'm saying? Produced by women, you know what I'm saying? Distributed by women. Support them in their movement. And Street Queens the Movement, we're supporting and always educating you each and every day. Check us out at streetqueensthemovement.name.com. And I got to say, we out. And if you got time, check in a couple of seconds and listen to Lil Flip on the show. We out. Later.
Oh, my geez, Lush Radio. We in the building.
Yeah, later.